good morning, honey. You old gloomy sight.
People who've never listened to a single note of jazz can recognize Billie Holiday's voice.
She was just a beautiful woman, and when she sang, the expression was outstanding, very often heartbreaking.
She's still an influence on popular singers from Erykah Badu to Amy Winehouse. Writer David Sedaris channels her. Poets have written about her. Her face is on t-shirts and posters. She's a tragic heroine in films and stage dramas who's been played by Diana Ross, Audra McDonald, and Dee Dee Bridgewater. People, Billie Holiday is an icon.
She's one of the first black women to really be able to sort of command the stage of these small clubs, right? They're sort of made for her.
I would actually liken Billie Holiday's story most to someone like Kurt Cobain, where there's a lightness and a darkness, and the darkness is very interesting. They both put that darkness into their lyrics.
Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
I'm Christian McBride. This week, Jazz Night in America looks at how Billie Holiday became an icon and why vocalist Cassandra Wilson wanted to reinterpret her legacy.
There is this great sensationalism around the icon Billie Holiday. And so I'm saying I want to set this record straight in terms of giving her recognition for her contribution more than focusing on the negative aspects.
We were at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. when Cassandra sang her new interpretations of Billie Holiday's music. Let's start with You Go to My Head, which Billie recorded 75 years ago. And Cassandra makes it sound like a new piece of music.
You go to my head and you linger like a haunting refrain, and I find you spinning round in my brain like the bubbles in a glass of champagne. You go to my head like a sip of sparkling burgundy brew, and I find the very mention of you like the kicker in a julep or two. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea casts a spell over me. Still I say to myself, get a hold of yourself. Can't you see that it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise like a summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes, and I'm certain that this heart of mine hasn't a ghost of a chance in this crazy romance. I'm certain that this heart of mine has
chance in this crazy romance. You go to my head, you go to my head.
That's Robbie Marshall on woodwinds, Charlie Burnham on violin, Kevin Bright on guitar, John Coward on piano, Lonnie Plaxico on bass, John Davis on drums, performing with Cassandra Wilson. She says channeling Billie Holiday isn't for her.
It's considered rude in jazz to imitate someone. So for me to do a tribute to Billie Holiday and imitate her style or her context would be almost insulting.
Cassandra wanted to reinvent the music in the studio, so she hired a producer known for working with artists who don't sound like Billie Holiday at all. Nick Launay started his career in 1981 when he produced Public Image Limited, which was the band Johnny Rotten started when he quit the Sex Pistols. That year, he also produced a record for the Australian band The Birthday Party, and he still works with his frontman, Nick Cave, and his new band, The Bad Seeds. When Cassandra decided to make a Billie Holiday record, her manager put her in touch with Nick.
He thought it would be a great idea to bring the bad, you know, the bad seeds, the bad boys, the bad guys, rock and roll guys, into the mix, and it made sense. It made perfect sense. We want to explore this material and get inside of it. It has to be kind of edgy. It can't be all clean and cute and pretty and tied up in a ribbon. It's got to have some of the edginess that Lady Day had herself. So you pull from those, I thought it was a great idea. We pull from these types of musicians, and they're coming to the music really fresh, and it's fascinating what they do with it.
Nick Launay was sold on the idea.
I thought, well, you know, that sounds amazing. You know, just the idea of having her voice doing these great songs, but to approach it in a similar way to the way that I make records and the way I make records with the Bad Seeds, you know, that and to get that kind of earthy, raw feeling, just was very appealing to me.
He brought in the bassist and drummer from the Bad Seeds and a woodwind player named Robbie Marshall. Cassandra brought in her pianist, John Coward, and guitarist, Kevin Bright. The band spent 2 days in the studio settling down and running through the tunes Cassandra and Nick had selected.
And it became very obvious to me that the way we were going to do this record was to just jam. Jam the songs, which was certainly the way that me and Cassandra had been talking about anyway. When we started rehearsing, the magic was happening. So I was just like, forget this whole idea of rehearsing this. Let's just record everything.
At the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., the band downsized the studio arrangements. Pianist John Coward translated the music he worked on in the studio for the working band in concert.
Charlie Burnham, he's a fiddle player. You know, he's recreating a lot of the orchestral arrangements, but he's free too. He has his moments where he can improvise.
John says a lot is going on during the jam sections, but all of the musicians are listening to each other.
I think everyone's like reacting to each other, and it never feels like cacophony to me. It always feels like music.
On Good Morning Heartache, Robbie Marshall's clarinet joins the violin to produce a texture that was common in 1940s jazz. But guitar loops from Kevin Bright and electric piano played by John Coward make it sound like today.
Monday blues, straight through Sunday blues. Good morning, heartache. Well, here we go again. Good morning, heartache. You're the one who knew me when I might as well get used to hanging around. Good morning, heartache. Sit down. Sit down. Thank you.
stop haunting me now. I can't shake you, no how. Please leave me alone. I've got those Monday blues, those straight through Sunday blues. Good morning, heartache. Well, here we go again. Good morning, heartache. You're the one who knew me when I might as well get used to you hanging around. Good morning, heartache. Sit down.
Good Morning Heartache, performed by Cassandra Wilson at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Coming up on Jazz Night in America, pianist Barbara Carroll tells us about performing with Billie Holiday at 7 a.m. on national television.
When you're alone.
So I was sitting in one chair and she was sitting in the chair next to me, and there were makeup people doing our faces and so forth. And I remember one thing that Billie said that I always loved. When they were putting lipstick on her, she said, "Now remember, honey, make the chop shiny," which I adored.
Billie Holiday on the Today Show in 1958, and more music from Cassandra Wilson at the Kennedy Center. I'm Christian McBride, and we're celebrating 100 years of Billie Holiday on Jazz Night in America. Welcome back. You're listening to Jazz Night in America, and I'm Christian McBride.
The sky was blue.
When we call Billie Holiday an icon, we're saying she's a symbol that means something. And Farrah Jasmine Griffin has written a biography of Billie Holiday, the icon, not Billie Holiday, the singer.
Like, how does the icon get constructed? I mean, I think that it's based in the voice, but that it takes on a meaning inspired by the voice, but beyond it, and it has to be something that is sort of described and defined by people other than the artist herself. So there are all these things involved in defining the icon. There's sort of the popular press during her lifetime. But it's also really interesting to me that, you know, philosophers find her interesting and poets write a million poems about her. And the fact that she has this thing, this object that can be associated with her. So we could take a photograph of a gardenia without her face on it and just put that gardenia there, and certain people know how to read that, right? That that's saying something about a kind of iconicity around who she is.
I thought I'd
drop a line.
It's both the voice, it's the image, it's the life, but it operates somewhat independent of the person. There are many jazz icons, but she is probably the most consistent icon that we have.
Now, two compositions made famous by Billie Holiday back-to-back. What a Little Moonlight, followed by Crazy He Calls Me. They're reimagined here by Cassandra Wilson and her band at the Kennedy Center.
What a little moonlight can do. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do to you. You're in love, your heart's a flutter all day long. You only stutter 'cause your poor tongue just will not utter the words, I love you. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do. Wait a while till a little moonbeam comes peeping through. He'll get bold, you can't resist him. All you say once you have kissed him is ooh, ooh. What a little moonlight. What a little moonlight. What a little moonlight can do. What a little moonlight can do. Ooh, 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 ooh. What a little moonlight can do to you. You're in love, your heart's a flutter all day long. You only stutter 'cause your poor tongue just will not utter the words, I love you. What a little moonlight can do. Wait a while till a little moonbeam comes peeping through. He'll get bold, you can't resist him. All you can say once you have kissed him is ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
Thank you.
I say I move the mountain, and I move the mountain. If he wants it out of the way, crazy he calls me. Sure, I'm crazy. I'm crazy in love, I say. Go through fire, and I'll go through fire as he wants it, so it will be. Crazy he calls me. Well, sure, I'm crazy, crazy in love, you see. Like the wind that shakes the bough, he moves me with his smile. The difficult I can do right now, the impossible may take a little while. I'll care forever, and I mean forever, if I have to move the sky. Crazy he calls me. Well, sure, I'm crazy, crazy in love, am I? And I'll go through fire as he wants it, so it will be. Crazy he calls me. Well, sure, I'm crazy, crazy in love, you see. Like the wind that shakes the bough, he moves me with his smile. The difficult I can do right now, the impossible may take a little while. I say I care forever, and I mean forever, if I have to move the sky. Crazy he calls me. Sure, I'm crazy, crazy in love. Crazy in love.
Crazy He Calls Me, and before that, What a Little Moonlight. In the band, Robbie Marshall on tenor, Charlie Burnham on violin, Kevin Bright on guitar, John Coward on piano, Lonnie Plaxico on bass, and John Davis on drums. In 1958, a lovely swinging pianist named Barbara Carroll got a chance to play with Billie Holiday.
I'm Barbara Carroll, and we're talking about Billie Holiday.
She spoke to us in her Manhattan apartment.
And the good times that we had on the Today Show.
We'll be with you every day.
We all know, we're all familiar with the Today Show. But when it began, the host of the Today Show was a man named Dave Garraway. He was a wonderful host and a big jazz fan. He was very generous in the way in which he very often chose jazz musicians to be his guests.
Never saw anybody more in love with an instrument than Barbara Carroll is with a piano.
I was booked to be on the Today Show with my trio on one particular day in October of 1958. Billie Holiday was also booked to be on the Today Show on that day. She had her own accompanist, naturally, but for some reason, he was in California and could not get back to New York in time to do the show. So, the people at the Today Show asked me if I would play for Billie Holiday, since I was going to be there. Well, you can imagine how thrilled I was, since I'd been listening to Billie Holiday my whole life. The Today Show went on at 7 o'clock, but you had to be there for rehearsal at 5 a.m. They said they would send the car to pick me up at 4 a.m. You know, musicians don't play at 4 a.m. unless they've been playing all night long. Anyway, I was supposed to get in the car at 4 a.m., go over to West 84th Street, pick up Billie Holiday, and then go to the studio, NBC studio. So we went to 84th Street, 4 a.m., and we rang the bell, and she came down the stairs in a gorgeous, huge mink coat, looking sensational, and in very good spirits. Got in the car, we went to the studio. Now, as far as rehearsal was concerned, I had been listening to Billie Holiday's songs for so many years that I knew all the songs that she sang. I knew what keys she sang them in. I knew the arrangements. You know, so there were very few surprises for me. And therefore, the rehearsal time was very, very short. There was a moment that was amusing. You know, on television, you have to go to the makeup room and get hair and makeup before you go on. So I was sitting in one chair, and she was sitting in the chair next to me, and there were makeup people doing our faces and so forth. When they were putting lipstick on her, she said, "Now remember, honey, make the chop shiny," which I adored. And we went on the air.
Billie Holiday.
To ask a singer to sing at 7 o'clock in the morning is bizarre. I mean, who sings at 7 o'clock in the morning? But she did. And she did a great job. She understood the lyrics of what she was singing. She gave that feeling of really singing what she meant. She meant what she was singing. And that's one of the things that made her singing so powerful. It wasn't so much her vocal equipment or the fact that she could sing octaves and so forth and so on. That isn't what was attractive about her. There was a sound that she had and a certain commitment to the truth when she sang. And she also did an interview with Dave Garraway in which she spoke about her upcoming appearances.
Is it true that you can't sing in New York now, or can you sing in New York?
Well, I can do weekends, and I can sing the Carnegie Hall, Town Hall, and do concerts.
Would you do another number for us?
Glad to.
It doesn't have to be
easy
from here.
Easy to remember.
Easy to remember?
Okay.
All right.
Your sweetest.
Billy had been in prison for drugs. And therefore, when she was released from prison, they wouldn't give her a cabaret card. So that meant that she couldn't play in a nightclub. She could play in a concert hall, so she could do a concert at Carnegie Hall, but she couldn't play in a jazz room. It's stupid, isn't it? Well, she went through all that. Horrible for her, and so wrong. But that's what it was. Anyway, it's nice that we can appreciate her now even more than we did then, and sing her praises.
That was pianist Barbara Carroll telling us about playing with Billie Holiday live on the Today Show in 1958. When Jazz Night in America returns, we're going back to the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. to hear more of Cassandra Wilson celebrating Billie Holiday at 100. You're listening to Jazz Night in America, and I'm Christian McBride. Cassandra Wilson wrote an original tune to go along with her versions of Billie Holiday's songs. It's called Last Song for Lester, as in tenor saxophonist Lester Young, the man who gave Billie Holiday the name Lady Day. Farrah Jasmine Griffin, who we heard from earlier, says Billie and Lester had a connection instantly when they met.
They're in Count Basie Orchestra together. I think they're kindred spirits in a number of ways. They're both very sensitive, and they both, while sort of deeply of a certain kind of tradition of performing, are unique and not necessarily appreciated for their sound. She doesn't have the big voice of a Bessie Smith. Her range is fairly small, but she's capable of doing things within that range that are extraordinary. And I think with Lester Young, he doesn't have the big sound of some of the saxophonists who come before him. He doesn't sound like Coleman Hawkins. He's got his own sound. He's committed to it. He's trying to develop it. And I think in many ways it's because they sort of sound alike. And so they have this musical kinship and sort of spiritual kinship and become almost like brother and sister. She welcomes him into her home. Her mother embraces him. And they have this long-term personal and musical friendship. I mean, it's impossible to really separate those two things. And I really think that they are kindred spirits.
She says the relationship empowered Billie Holiday. Billie had been born Eleanor Fagan. As Lady Day, Billie could play a role, hang up the life of drugs, alcohol, and men for something more elegant, at least when she was performing.
You've changed.
She takes on this name that Lester Young gives her because of the connotations of lady. And yet she then begins to define what that means, so that when musicians talk about her, when they hear her, they don't always say there's Billie Holiday. They go, oh, there's Lady, right? And so that she comes to embody the name itself.
Cassandra Wilson tried to get herself inside Billie's head so she could write a song dedicated to Lester Young. One of the things she thought about was the day Lester Young passed away when Billie was in London.
The next song we're going to do is the only original piece that is on the new CD coming forth by Day. And it's a song that's written for Billie Holiday. She was in London when Lester Young passed away, and she immediately flew back to the States to attend the funeral. She wanted to sing for her lifelong soulmate, Lester Young, but she was not allowed to do that. So we wrote this song for her to sing for him now, and it's called Last Song for Lester.
halfling from far away. They said the last notes of your tenor played. You faded fast. Now I have one regret. I couldn't hold those hands that I love the best. You are my morning star, forever rising, forever breaking my heart. But I do it all again. If they would only let me sing the last song for you, my last note to you. My last song for you. I could not help but cry. It cut so deeply to say goodbye. So cold. It was a fatal blow, but I'll meet you on the other side again, I know.
That's Cassandra Wilson on stage at the Kennedy Center singing Last Song for Lester. It's her original composition written from the perspective of Billie Holiday singing to Lester Young. Billie's Blues, the B-side of her 1936 single, Summertime. She wrote it herself. Farrah Jasmine Griffin says there's a lot going on in the lyrics.
It's got several layers of meaning. Failure of a romantic relationship, black people's relationship to the United States. It's a defiant song, right? You know, like, I'll take so much, but I won't take, like, I won't be treated like a dog, right? So it's got that defiance.
Lord, I love my mama.
I think it's signifying, because there she's standing there, this beautiful woman, and she says, I ain't good looking, which is like a joke. And sometimes in some performances, particularly the live performances, you can hear the musicians say that. Like she says, I ain't good looking, and they stop playing. They're like, oh no, that's not true, right? So there's just all this humor, and there's so much going on in what seem like fairly simple humorous lyrics. You know, and when she says, my hair ain't curl, I mean, that's a certain standard of beauty, right? My hair ain't curl. But I've got this thing, I've got this, you know, sense of self, this interior self that gives me a sense of value.
Here's Cassandra Wilson performing Billy's Blues by Billie Holiday.
Say I won't. I've been your slave ever since I was your babe. Yeah, I've been your slave ever since I was your babe. But before I be your dog, I'll see you in your grave. My man wouldn't give me no breakfast, wouldn't give me no dinner. He squawked about my supper, then he put me on blows. Had the nerve to lay a matchbox on my clothes. I didn't have so many, but I had a long, long way to go. Something that'll carry me through this world. Some men like me 'cause I'm happy, some 'cause I'm snappy, some call me honey, others think I got some money. They say, baby, you built for speed, and if you put it all together, it makes me everything a good man needs. Snappy, some call me honey, and others think I got some money.
said, Cassandra, girl, you built for speed. Well, if you put it all together, it makes me everything a good man deems. If you put it all together, it makes me everything. Makes me everything. Everything. A good man needs. Thank you very much. We love you. Thank you, Kennedy Center. Thank you, DC. We love you.
That's it for our show on A Century of Billie Holiday, featuring vocalist Cassandra Wilson and her band, Robbie Marshall on woodwinds, Charlie Burnham on violin, guitarist Kevin Bright, John Coward on piano and Fender Rhodes, Lonnie Plaxico on bass, and John Davis on drums. Special thanks to pianist Barbara Carroll for sharing her story with us. That was beautiful. Today's music was recorded and mixed by Duke Marcos. Special thanks to Kevin Struthers at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Thanks to NPR's Arun Rath, host of All Things Considered on the weekends, for lending us his interview with Cassandra Wilson. And special thanks to Chris Dennison. This episode was produced and written by Alex Arif, the show's editor, Rick Carr. Our senior producer is Katie Simon. Executive producers of Jazzland in America are Amy Niles, Anya Grunman, and Gabrielle Armour. Thanks for listening, and come back and join us next week. I'm Christian McBride.